This episode of Shameless is brought to you by CeraVe and their Blemish Control Range, developed with dermatologists to help you cleanse, target, and repair. Welcome to Shameless, the pop culture podcast for smart people who love dumb stuff. You're joined as a special little surprise this week by Michelle Andrews, that would be me, and Annabelle Lee. Nanobot Lee, that would be you.
Nanobot Lee is me, and our producer today is Scandal pop culture journalist Eilish Gilligan. Hi, Gil.
Hi.
Hi. Everyone who's listened to any episode of Scandal recently will be a big fan of your work, Eilish, so I'm very happy you're on this episode with us.
Yay. Thanks for having me.
Guys, coming up on today's show, well, if we weren't Kate Middleton conspiracy theorists last week, we just might be after the developments over the weekend. Also, our main takeaways from the Oscars. Ariana Grande's new album has sparked speculation that she was the one who was cheated on. Natalie Portman quietly divorced Benjamin Millipede. And cue the wedding bells, because Rupi Murdoch is ready to start the second half of his life again. But Annabelle, yes. Nanobot, first, how was your week?
Yes, my week. We do this, don't we? My week has been wonderful. A busy, busy week. We've been recording some Everybody Has a Secret episodes. We're about to go weekly. I'm getting ready to go to China on Friday for a few weeks. A lot is happening, but I'm feeling very energized because I've been pretty busy.
Tell us about the China holiday.
The China holiday. I'm going to see family and then I'm doing a week on my own in Vietnam. I think it's my first solo trip.
That is so exciting. I'm ashamed about this, but I don't feel like I have it in me to do solo travel. So I'm always like exceptionally impressed by people who do.
Well, I think I'm going to thrive because I live alone as well. Yeah. And I love living alone. It's like my zen time is when I'm in my apartment on my own. So traveling in Vietnam, which has been on my bucket list for so many years, on my own is going to be amazing.
Yay, Eilish, solo travel. Where do we stand?
I love it. I went to New York by myself when I was like 23, I think, and it like fully changed my life.
Yeah, okay. Maybe for personal growth reasons I should do it.
Never too late, Mish. Never too late. I do have a recommendation. Eilish, you actually were there with me. We went to see Wicked. We got tickets through work and it was, not to be dramatic, the best night of my life. Actually, no. Taylor Swift was the best night.
Hang on a second. But it was up there. You all came into the office the next day and the whole team were raving about Wicked.
I haven't stopped listening to Wicked. It is my all-time favourite musical ever, ever, ever. Growing up, my sister would like LimeWire, the music, the, what's it called? Eilish, you know
the
you're
sound,
a musician.
The soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah. She LimeWired the soundtrack. And she like put it on my iPod and was like, listen to this. And then we went to go see the musical years later together. Last week, I brought my sister. We went to go see it. And I cried like multiple times, which is so unexpected.
I actually need you guys to sell me on Wicked because I'm not a like regular musical girly. I can get into musicals if they are mostly just a pop concert disguised as a musical.
Right.
But Wicked, I won't lie to you. I will probably see the Ariana Grande movie purely because of the PR lead up. I don't think I'll be going to the musical though. Why should I go? Not sponsored, by the way. That just sounded like
obviously
an ad. I genuinely don't want to go, so sell me.
The story is so beautiful and meaningful, and it really hits home. It also ties in the original Wizard of Oz, Dorothy kind of storyline in some ways.
Are the people green?
One person is green. Elphaba is green.
And why is she green?
She was kind of like born that way.
Okay.
It all ties in together. I don't want to spoil anything, but I'm pretty sure most people listening kind of know the plot. Okay. I'm surprised you don't, but hey, no hate, no shame.
No. I know literally nothing.
No shame about that at all. But it's honestly amazing. Every time I watch a musical, I am constantly in awe of the people on stage and how they manage to do it all.
Okay.
And it's funny as well. I also have one quick other recommendation.
Yeah. Sorry. Please, please. We sit you in the chair once and you've been through the rules.
I'm like, let's go. On my way here, I was stuck in horrendous traffic. And so I listened to like an hour long podcast. It's the A24 podcast. It's kind of like the Actors on Actors Hollywood Reporter video series on YouTube. Obviously, it's a podcast though. There's no accompanying video. Yep. I listened to the episode between Celine Song and Sofia Coppola. It's like a chat between colleagues. But it's so nice and impressive to see people talking. And this is going to sound stupid, but like they're big names, right? But they have no egos and they're just talking and learning from each other in this really like wholesome way.
Gorgeous.
Just very much recommend.
Love.
Yeah. What about you, Mish? How was your week?
My week was grand. I do have a big month of March. March is just a busy, busy month. I was going to say for your gal, but I won't say that.
You're our gal.
For me. I have a wedding every weekend. So like started with Zara's wedding and then every weekend I have a wedding for 4 weeks in a row, which is a record for myself.
Wow.
Maybe not the universe. If you have had more, I'd like to hear about it, listeners.
That's a whole lot of love back to back.
Well, how many weddings have you been to in your life? Haven't you been to four? I think you said that to me.
Yes, just four now that I've been to Zara's.
So imagine doing all that
four weeks
in a row. Oh
my God, I can't wait. Friends, listening, get married. Hurry up and do it.
It actually is a joy. I'm having the best time ever. Bank account isn't as happy as I am, but I have also had like my best friend's 30th last week.
You're 30th?
I am turning 30
yes,
this weekend.
On Sunday.
So it's just been a big time. But I think I said earlier in the year on the podcast, the theme of 2024, at least the first half, is just leaning the fuck in. So
yeah.
I'm leaning in. My bank account is crying. And also my voice hasn't sounded the same, at least in my own head, hasn't sounded the same since the start of the month. But I'm having an amazing time.
That's all that matters.
I do have a recommendation for the week. I need to talk to you guys about the New York Times' obituary for Ira von Furstenberg. Does that name ring any bells?
Who's Diane von Furstenberg?
She is the designer.
Okay.
Oh, I am thinking of someone so not right.
Well, Ira is her sister-in-law. And she's actually the OG famous one in the family. I really recommend people read this obit and then do a bit of a deep dive on Ira because I just find her life fascinating. Can I please read you some quotes from this?
Of course.
Obit? Okay. Miss von Furstenberg seemingly defined the term jet setter, bouncing between homes in Rome, London, Paris, Madrid, and on Lake Geneva. My only real home is on airplanes, she said. I spend so much time going from country to country that my children suspect that I'm really a flight attendant. This woman has had an incredible career. She actually started as a model at the age of 13. She was photographed by the likes of Vogue. She walked the runway for Yves Saint Laurent. She then became an actress, went on to be an executive at Valentino. She married a prince at the age of 15 and he was 31.
Oh.
Yeah. Then got a divorce and then this obit really takes you through her love life and kind of the messy custody battle that she went through. It is a very colourful, very interesting life. So look up on New York Times the obit for Ira von Furstenberg.
And we'll, of course, link it in the show notes.
Of course.
So what's her relation to Diane? They married...
Sisters-in-law.
Cool.
Yep. I always struggle with sisters-in-law, so I can't remember if it's... Let's just leave it at that. They're sisters-in-law.
And it's not stepsisters, because
no.
That's how I get confused.
Okay, I don't get that confused. We're different in that regard. Now, I also want to say, guys, it's officially Shameless Podcast 6th birthday this week as well. Our birthday is the 12th of March. So thank you all for being here. Sad that Zazzy couldn't be here with us, but... 6 years later, almost 100 million downloads later.
That's so crazy.
Thank you to everyone who has kind of come along the ride with us. Sorry for all the weird shit I've said over the years.
We did have a little like celebratory lunch last week with Zazzy present, which was really nice.
Yeah, so that was lovely. And just a big thank you for you all being here. We love ya.
We do.
With that being said, let's get into the quick and dirty. We have 6 stories from the rough and tumble of the celebrity and pop culture news cycle today.
I get a name.
Nanobot Lee?
Yes.
What are we starting with? Actually, you don't even have the headline in front of you. Let me read this one out. Our first story. Kate Middleton apologizes over royal Photoshop fail, saying she experimented with editing. That is from the ABC.
I can't.
I
When that headline came out, I was like, no, she didn't say that. And so, it was as if someone had a gun to her head.
All right. Before we get to the apology, let's get to what happened. As we said in the intro, if we were not royal conspiracy theorists last week, I think we may be this week. Over the weekend, Kate and Will's official Instagram account published a photo. It was of Kate and their three children, and it was published alongside this caption. Thank you for your kind wishes and continued support over the last 2 months. Wishing everyone a happy Mother's Day. See. It then, in this caption, gave the photo credit to William, as if he was behind the camera, and said the photo was from 2024.
Yes.
This year.
Yes, a freshie. The royal family supplied this photo to the world's biggest photo agencies. Only within hours, those photo agencies, which are Getty Images, AFP, Reuters, and Associated Press, issued an unprecedented mandatory kill notice.
Mandatory kill
yes,
notice.
Which essentially means remove the photo ASAP because it's partially fake.
Yeah. The Associated Press explained it like this. At closer inspection, it appears that the source has manipulated the image. No replacement photo will be sent. So, essentially, photo agencies have journalistic standards they adhere to. They found that this photo was in violation of those journalistic standards. When you look closely, the image is so clearly doctored.
You say clearly, but it took me a while.
When you look closely, could you not see anything?
I had to watch a couple of TikToks deep diving and explaining the detail of like zooming in, and I'm like, oh yes, I see a bit of blur.
What about Charlotte's sleeve?
Yes,
when you looked at Charlotte's sleeve, did you see anything funky?
I did, but I had to really, really zoom. Like, if that's this hadn't become a story, I would have seen it and then moved on.
That's so fair. Mm. Eilish, did you look at this and sense anything was awry?
Yeah, it's funny. I'd literally just written a whole thing about AI last week for the newsletter, and I looked at the photo and I was like, there's something funny about this. I don't know what it is. And then all of a sudden it came out, obviously. But the sleeve, dude, the sleeve is so obvious.
And also Kate's face did look maybe like it was taken somewhere else or a little out of place, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, let me run you through the main gripes people have with this image. Obviously, Princess Charlotte's sleeve, it just disappears at one point, like we said. Kate's right hand around Prince Louis is inexplicably blurry. Like the rest of the photo's in HD, and then one of Kate's hands looks like it was straight out of, like, I don't know, like a Nokia camera from the noughties. The leaves on the tree behind them are supposedly out of sync with the seasons. The step behind where they're all seated is misaligned, and not in a way where it's like, oh, there's a chunk of step missing. It's like, no, they haven't lined up two photos of the step. Also of interest, Kate is not wearing her wedding rings in the photo. It is genuinely mind-blowing to me. Like, mind-blowing, boggling, cannot believe it, that the royal family put this photo out to the world, given you would think they have enough checks and balances in place to, I don't know, quality control these things?
Yeah, well, clearly they don't. Also, the wedding ring thing. Some people are saying that, like, oh, she probably takes it off when she's in the home or whatever. But was this photo not to serve a purpose PR-wise?
Yes.
Why wouldn't they Photoshop the wedding ring on? Like, aren't they trying to quash chatter?
Yeah.
It's just not working.
Isn't this all to say that the marriage is fine? Hence them trying to tell us that Prince William was behind the camera. They're trying to say that in the caption to be like, see, happy family, all good here. And yet it's the most shoddily done job that I've seen. I mean, the ultimate irony here is that this photo, as you said, Annabelle, was supposed to squash speculation about Kate Middleton's well-being. It only ramped it up by about 10,000 degrees. A popular sentiment on Twitter is that Kate's face in this image is actually a direct rip from her cover of Vogue in 2016. Not everyone in the office agreed about this. I did put it in the Slack channel. I think it is a rip of the Vogue image. Someone on Twitter has lined it up pixel by pixel and says it's the same. Mm. Eilish, you disagree?
Yeah, I do. I kind of feel like that is not that deep. Like, she's smiling. It's the same smile. that kind of checks out to me. The more suspicious things are like, why didn't they Photoshop the wedding ring on?
Yeah.
Why are the trees out of season? Like, I'm like, let's focus on that rather than the fact that her smile looks the same.
I think we could all smile the same, but there's 8 years between these photos. It's a 2016 cover of Vogue. I don't think it's possible that a person 8 years later could smile pixel by pixel in the same way. And if it's true that they've ripped her face from a different, sorry, that sounds very graphic. If they've ripped an image of her face, was she even sitting in this photograph, I think is what people are saying. And I know I sound like I have a tinfoil hat on, but genuinely at this point, it is so easy for the royals to dispel these rumors that Kate Middleton is not okay. It is so easy. Mm. They just get a photo of her, which is current, in situ being a royal. Mm. I understand she's recovering from abdominal surgery, but given the speculation is this high, it is an incredibly easy thing to put to bed if she is fine and everything's all rosy in the castle.
Yeah.
They can't do that. And the fact they can't do it and won't do it says to me, for the first time since this fucking crazy story broke in January, for the first time I believe something is truly up now.
Something weird is going on, and it annoys me that they're playing us for fools, despite me being kind of a fool and not really realising the Photoshop to begin with.
I mean, I am a fool, but don't make me feel like
exactly.
I'm a fool.
And as a collective, we are not fools. Me individually, maybe. There are, of course, the realists among us. @SabsTweets wrote on Twitter, I tried to explain the Kate photo drama to my friend in the pub last night, who is not on Twitter. I was really excited by it, too excited, honestly, and they just said they probably just merged pics to get one where all kids looked into the camera, and I was totally left cold. And that could be an explanation as well.
No way. Nah. If Kate Middleton is actually fine and everything's all good, they're not even tinkering with a photo. They're putting out a photo where a kid's not looking at the camera. There's no way. And then to observe how the royal family has responded to this is like amateur PR at best, complete disaster at worst. They responded to all of the commentary on social media with an Instagram story supposedly penned by Kate herself. The Instagram story read, like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I want to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day. Ladies, do we believe Kate Middleton has the Facetune app on her iPhone?
She also finished that. She ended that Instagram announcement, whatever it was, with a C. And it's like they think that if they could just say C after everything, we just believe that she wrote it herself.
There is actually no way. There's maybe a 0.1% chance in my mind that Kate Middleton is on her phone. Number one, editing the official family portraits herself. But number two, posting them to social media. Isn't the whole vibe of the royal family on these social media accounts? It's not like they're trying to portray Kate and Will posting these themselves.
I think Kate and Will have a history of taking their own photos. And
like Will is a photographer,
yeah,
right? Quote unquote.
So I think this is like part of their story. But this particular instance, I mean, she's not editing these photos herself. Like, let's be real.
You've got a whole team to do that shit.
Yeah, this is what I mean. I'm like, it's just nothing is adding up.
Yeah, the way that I feel is quite adequately summed up by this tweet from @EstherGBenz. It reads, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to believe that the Princess of Wales is editing her own family photos to send to global news outlets? Is the royal family okay? And that got 104,000 likes.
People have also pointed out, they're like, so hang on, you're trying to tell us William took the photo, but Kate edited the photo and Kate's the amateur photographer responsible for the error. I think there's also, it's not the main part of the story, but there is a slight level of annoyance that they're pinning the blame on Kate for this. If we're going to say William took the pic, can William also take the fall for the fucking terrible Photoshop job?
Yes, yeah, speak up, William. Where are you?
Where is Will?
Genuinely, where is he?
What's going on, guys? Are we on board with the Kate-spiracy?
You know what? Before this recording, I was very much of the opinion, I think nothing's really going on. They're just being a bit silly with this. And they're, again, playing us for fools. But now that I'm in this and I'm feeding off your energy, I'm very much into the Kate-spiracy thing.
Yeah, I think I'm Kate-spiracy. I don't believe the plastic surgery stuff. I just don't think that holds water. I do potentially think something might be up in the marriage, or something might be up that Kate needs to take time away for whatever reason that is. And I don't think we've actually gotten the real reason why. whatsoever. What do you think, Eilish?
I'm intrigued, just like anyone else. I went down a bit of a rabbit hole last night on Reddit with the theories, and I got to say, this is fun wondering where she is, but if she's not okay, that's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, okay, where is she seriously though?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm starting to get concerned because she had abdominal surgery.
Yeah, in Jan.
And we haven't seen her since.
No. I mean, we've also got some grainy footage of her supposedly in a car.
Yes.
But then people are saying those images are edited. A popular tweet floating around was that they haven't matched up the bricks, that you can see the bricks through the car window, but then the bricks of the building above the car don't match up at all. So people are speculating that even those photos have been photoshopped. I think adding to all of this and the, you know, the question of where is Kate is that a few days before the photo fiasco, the British Army was forced to remove claims that Kate will be attending their annual Trooping the Colour event in June. Remember, they've told us she'll be back at Easter. This is an event in June. The British Army has left up suggestions that the King will be in attendance, but will not respond to media, or at least has not responded to media, as to why they have removed suggestions Kate will be in attendance. I just think that's another, I haven't seen that around as much, but that was covered a lot before this photo fiasco happened. It's getting weird, guys.
Yeah.
I will say it's actually, I think this is one of the weirder pop culture stories we've covered on Shameless. And I actually think it has the potential to become one of the biggest celebrity pop culture stories of our time. What do you think, Annabelle?
Oh yeah, there's absolutely more to come. I mean, even given the fact that we spoke about this last week, and within the space of a week, so much more has happened. So many more question marks have arisen. I'm also like, if something is going on with Kate, is she giving the royal family the green light to like speak on her behalf so she can just have a moment to herself? Or are they doing this without her permission?
Well, I think what I find, and look, I will appreciate, maybe by next week this will all have changed and it turns out she is fine. She's wanted an extra few weeks. Maybe by Easter she will be back in the public eye and all's well. But I have been thinking about that Meghan and Harry documentary series on Netflix where they openly said, you know, William, I think Harry said this, William will throw people under the bus to protect himself.
Yeah.
And William would hang us out to dry to distract from narratives around himself. So maybe I'm not that shocked that Kate was the one that got pinned with all the blame for this particular PR mishap. And I will just be watching very, very keenly. I think the royal family has a colossal problem on their hands if this Easter date of Kate returning doesn't actually come to fruition. Because if this is the speculation in mid-March, imagine what it's going to be like by the time Easter rolls around if we haven't seen her still.
And imagine what they're going to try and do to try and cover whatever's going on.
All right, guys, after the break, we need to talk about Ariana Grande's new album and wedding bells for Rupert Murdoch. But first, a word from today's sponsor. Dealing with blemish-prone skin or struggling with pesky blemishes? Well, CeraVe has got the tools to help you reduce the appearance of those blemishes and support your skin's moisture barrier. It can be overwhelming to know what to do when pimples appear out of nowhere, but lucky for us, CeraVe is developed with dermatologists, formulating a blemish routine you know you can trust. I'm going to tell you a bit about this simple three-step routine in this range. First, cleanse your face with their Blemish Control Cleanser, formulated to help reduce the appearance of pimples and blackheads. Step two targets any spots with their Blemish Control Gel, which uses MVE technology to help maintain hydration levels in the skin for 24 hours. Last of all, apply the resurfacing retinol serum to target and reduce the appearance of any post-blemish marks. The unique formula of active ingredients works wonders to disrupt the blemish cycle while still protecting the skin's moisture barrier. CeraVe's blemish control formulas are, of course, powered by active ingredients to target pesky breakouts, including three essential ceramides, the key ingredient that makes CeraVe unique to other blemish products. If you're looking to reduce the appearance of blemishes and achieve healthy-looking skin, go shop CeraVe's entire blemish control range online or in store at Chemist Warehouse, Priceline, Terry White, and Adore Beauty. Thank you so much to CeraVe for making this episode of Shameless possible.
Yeah.
our second story. Oppenheimer sweeps Oscars while Ryan Gosling wows audience as Ken. That is from the Sydney Morning Herald. My God, the Oscars, did we watch this? I watched the end of it and it was I was actually quite entertained.
Yeah, I watched Ryan Gosling's performance as it happened and obviously really loved that. And then I kind of caught bits and pieces throughout the day.
Yes, things were pretty glossy and tame. I don't think anything huge really happened, but a few little fun things did occur. One being, as you mentioned, Mish, Ryan Gosling's performance. What did we make of it? I was very surprised by his live vocal talent.
Singing ability. Yeah. I mean, we've heard the song before, but his ability to perform it live was something else. Eilish, you're our resident Shameless Media pop star musician guru. What did you think?
I thought he did amazing. Yeah. His voice is beautiful. He has amazing technique and he really performed. Like, he is so charismatic.
Imagine.
He had this huskiness as well, which I've very much like you post three weddings.
I was watching it and I saw a tweet that said this as well. He was obviously in Mickey Mouse Club with Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake and stuff. Imagine if he had decided to become a pop star a la Justin Timberlake. Oh. He's coming for Justin's neck.
The world would not know how to handle itself, honestly, if he decided to be a pop star. The most salacious talking point of the day was Emma Stone seeming to mouth, "What a prick." After Jimmy Kimmel made a joke about Poor Things, the movie which she was nominated and then she won Best Actress for. Mm. I do want to talk about her dress and the fashion on the night quick.
Favorites?
She was wearing a peplum.
Yep, they're back apparently.
Yeah, how do you feel? Because I don't know. She looked beautiful, obviously.
I loved Emma Stone's dress. I thought she was beautiful. Am I ready for peplums to be back in? Not really. The other thing that's back in that I'm not sure I'm super ready for is the layered statement necklaces.
Oh,
together.
Yeah. It looks heavy.
It looks like me in 2011.
Another interesting fashion little bit that I saw and was unsure about was the floating dress straps on Emily Blunt and Florence Pugh.
Yes. If people are struggling to imagine this, it's quite simple, actually. Imagine you're wearing a singlet, but the singlet straps have been maybe made stiff from glue. You've covered them in glue and then you've molded them to sit 5 centimeters above your shoulder.
They're levitating.
How did I do? They're rigid. These straps aren't, you can't have floppy floating straps. They're rigid, rigid floating. I didn't do it.
You ended.
Are we all with me?
Shakily, but you had it during maybe. I was wondering whether there was some sort of tie-in with Oppenheimer because they were both in that movie and they seemed to be the only ones wearing straps like that.
I've seen Oppenheimer. Did straps float in that film?
I mean, no, it's a movie about bombs.
Really, really serious.
So damn serious,
that movie.
No, I loved the experimentation going on with those straps is
I
where
liked
I'll end.
It too. I thought it was good. My best dress for the night was Jennifer Lawrence.
I agree. Obviously, Zendaya looked amazing.
Oh, yeah, Zendaya always. Zendaya is just always my best dressed, and then it's like, who else?
Who else could I pick? Jen, we're on a nickname basis. Jen was actually my favorite as well. As for the winners of the night, Oppenheimer won 7 of the Academy Awards up for grabs. Is that how you say it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Including Best Picture, Best Directing, Best Actor, which was to Cillian Murphy, and Best Supporting Actor, Robert Downey Jr. Poor Things came in 2nd place with 4 wins, including, as I mentioned, Emma Stone for Best Actress. Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas won Best Original Song for What Was I Made For. Did you guys watch this performance when the curtain came up and the orchestra was there? I was like, wow.
It was gorgeous. Wow. And seeing the celebrities react to it as well. It actually, the camera panned to Ariana Grande's face after they finished. And she just looked awestruck, which I think was the mood of the room. That win, for the record, made Billie Eilish the youngest person in history to have 2 Oscars under her belt. She is only 22 years old.
Baffles me.
It's crazy. Her first Oscar came for her 2022 James Bond theme, No Time to Die. Now, Al Pacino announcing Best Picture. Can we talk about this for a second? Did you watch it live?
I did watch it live and it was incredibly anticlimactic. It was so funny though. And I actually think all in all, I feel really positive about it. And I don't think that's the sentiment generally. I just found it really funny because as I said, I tuned into the last 20 minutes and it was really confusing because instead of listing the nominees, he just announced the winner. I'll play that for you now.
Only one will take the award for Best Picture. And I have to go to the envelope for that.
See, and funny, people love it.
Here it comes. And my eyes see Oppenheimer. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Like they had to play the music to be like, yeah, he actually just said the winner.
If anyone could catch it, I want everyone's ears to try and listen to Al Pacino clearly getting confused and saying to someone, what happened? We're going to play that for you now.
Oh my God.
I think that's my favorite part. Like, I think, first of all, he did end up coming out with a statement to be like, they didn't want me to say the nominees, which I think, again, just like Kate Middleton's photoshopping is bullshit.
Yeah.
I think he just forgot to say the nominees and got a bit confused and flustered up on stage. But I am so into the fact that he went, what happened?
Like, buddy, you happened. And we love you for that. But no, him being like, the producers wanted me to not list the nominees is very much giving Joe Coy, remember the guy who hosted Golden Globes, being like, my writers suck. And that's why I suck.
Throw everyone else under the bus. Now, before we move on, very quickly, host Jimmy Kimmel, I think he did what he needed to do. There wasn't really much chatter at all, positive or negative, about him. And I think in the shadow of the Joe Coy disaster of the Golden Globes, I think that's actually kind of perfect.
A success in the end for Jimmy Kimmel.
Our third story, Ariana Grande has had to tell fans to stop attacking her ex after hearing the tea on her album. That is from Pedestrian TV. Guys, Eternal Sunshine dropped on Friday, and it is a banger. Have we listened?
I have. I've listened to the album once through.
Okay.
And then I've just listened to the We Can't Be Friends one about 50 billion times.
So good. Eilish?
I love it. I love it. Listening to an Ariana Grande album for the first time is always such a treat.
Yeah.
She's such an artist, and this is no different.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is so, so good. It's been pretty universally praised as well. The Guardian's review called it nearly spotless, which is, of course, a little wink at the, what is it? The Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
Rolling Stone reported the final four songs on Eternal Sunshine are some of the strongest of Grande's career. It made me think, as I was listening to this album on repeat, like, I have devoured this. I have so many favorite songs. I feel like every time I listen through, I find another song that I love the most. As I was kind of absorbing this on the weekend, it really did make me think, no celebrity can better recover from a PR disaster than a pop star slash musician.
Yes.
Like, even if you're pulled into one of the ickiest headlines of the year, a la Ethan Slater, Lily J, and their one-year-old baby, there is still an easy way to combat it, and the easy way is to put out banger music. I do feel like not all is forgiven, but a lot is forgiven of a musician, no matter what they've done in their private life, if they can give us songs that we love and can dance to.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. And also, as a slight sidebar to that, there's something about Ariana Grande's personality, which I'm sure a lot of people agree with me on this, is that she's just so charismatic. And this past week, consuming her album that one time and then that one song, <heaps of times. laughs> watching her on SNL, all the press she's doing upon the release of this album, I'm just so obsessed with her. She's so likable. And it's just so interesting that that kind of personality can make me so instantly forget all of the headlines she was involved in these past many, many months. And yeah, as you say, she's just so good at recovering from a PR disaster, and that has to do with her amazing album and her banger songs, but it's also her.
Yeah.
She is a great celebrity.
She is. She's really good at being a celebrity. What are our favourite songs? Mine are Eternal Sunshine, which I want to speak to about in a little bit because the lyrics are fascinating. I also really like Bye, and to your point, Annabelle, We Can't Be Friends, which in brackets is also Wait For Your Love. There is just something magical about it. What are your faves?
Well, it's that one, the We Can't Be Friends one. I actually don't. I told you this the other day, Eilish, and you were shocked. Shooketh. That I don't listen to music in playlists. I just like songs that I like.
Yeah.
And then I just listen to my like songs on Spotify. I've liked We Can't Be Friends, and I just keep pressing it again over and over. Is there a way to put a song on repeat? I'm coming across so stupid on this episode.
But did you say, is there a way to put a song on repeat? Yeah. You just cue it again.
Yes. I've been listening to that one over and over, so clearly that one's my favorite. Eilish, what is your favorite?
That's also my favorite, and I think I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but the video for that song as well is just so special. As someone who watched Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind like way, way too young, I have such an emotional connection to that movie, and I feel like Ariana Grande just gets it. She gets it so much. She's so good at being vulnerable in her music, and I think that's part of the reason why people really gravitate towards her, you know?
Yeah, and also the way she's able to convey emotion in the clip, like as an actress. It's no surprise she's a good actress. She's in Wicked. Yeah. You know, she was an actress first or really early on in her career.
Yeah.
And so watching the scene, especially where she like wakes up and she's crying, but she's talking to the doctors and whatever.
Well,
people
are confused before we go to the big reveal. People are confused, the music video follows her. She goes into like a medical clinic and it's like a futuristic kind of scene. This medical clinic has found a way to scrub people's memories of an experience or a person. And it's all about her deciding to scrub her memory clean of her ex-boyfriend slash husband. It's not really quite clear. And upon having her memory cleared, she wakes up at one point and says something along the lines, you can't hear her, but you can see her mouth moving. She's distraught. And she says something along the lines of like, can I please keep this one? And she's clutching to a necklace. Oh my God, I have goosebumps even as I'm talking about it. It is incredible. Like there's something about this music video that is so fresh and so well executed.
And so relatable. This isn't a hot take, but despite it being set in a world where like something like this actually can't happen, you cannot erase memories. Mm. We've all been in a position where we've wanted to do that because we feel like that's the way that we can preserve our souls and our hearts and whatever. Mish, you wanted to talk about Eternal Sunshine, the song and the lyrics.
I want to do some lyric analysis. If we can all put our year 12 English caps on for a second, I'm going to read you guys these lyrics, then we can discuss what they might mean. In Eternal Sunshine, Ariana Grande sings, I don't care what people say. We both know I couldn't change you. I guess you could say the same. Can't rearrange truth. I've never seen someone lie like you do. So much even you start to think it's true. Get me out of this loop. So now we play our separate scenes. Now she's in my bed, laying on your chest. Now I'm in my head, wondering how it ends. Fast forward a little bit in the song, and she also sings, now it's like I'm looking in the mirror. Hope you feel all right when you're in her.
God.
She always has quite the exquisite lyrics.
Yes. And so naturally,
Annabelle's blushing.
Let's move on.
What do we think?
Yeah. Well,
is she trying to tell her audience that her ex-husband, Dalton Gomez, was potentially unfaithful? What do we think?
I think so.
Yeah.
Without her having to explicitly say that. And she was pretty explicit in the lyrics.
Yeah. Hope you feel all right when you're in her. It's not subtle. Ariana's been accused of cheating. Ethan Slater accused of cheating. Now Dalton Gomez accused of cheating. It does remind me of that meme with all the Spider-Mans pointing to each other being like, you cheated.
And a part of me is like, because I'm going through my I love Ariana Grande phase. And yes, she's made missteps in the past. But part of me is thinking, maybe this means this all just cancels each other out. Mm. It all cancels each other out. Now everyone can just move on and live their lives and we can all just forget about this cheating thing.
I don't know if Lily J, ex-wife of Ethan Slater, I would agree. What do you think, Eilish?
I don't know. I think I'm kind of not really in the business of looking super, super deep for clues, even though I am a Swiftie, in lyrics from massive celebrities who are also musicians.
Mm. You're a bigger person than me, Eilish.
You keep us grounded.
I don't mean to be like, oh, I'm better than everyone else because I don't do this. But I think the music and the vulnerability in question was so potent to me that I was able to just immediately put my own experiences onto the music and not have to worry about what she was thinking about when she wrote it.
That's fair. You're more concerned about listening to the lyrics and how they might apply to your life. That's fair. I did find it interesting. The album was recorded in the wake, the immediate aftermath of the drama. I found a video Ariana posted in the lead up to Eternal Sunshine being released. It was of her in Republic's recording studio. That Republic is her label. She's playing the album to her team for the first time. And in that video, she gives like a very brief synopsis of the lead up. And she essentially says, you know, I've been going through something very recently and I've been inspired and I want to put this out. And so she's saying how quick it's all been. She said that she started working on the album with Max Martin in September. So I think it is to say it's been very quick, and I wouldn't mind betting. I mean, who knows about those specific lyrics? Maybe she just wanted to have something referencing cheating or something referencing messiness, whether that's her story or not. I think the album at large was inspired by her personal experience, but individual songs, maybe some of them aren't autobiographical at all.
Yeah, and maybe some of them are, despite it being recorded quite quick, pretty recently. Maybe some of the songs are inspired by different experiences with different people, like little bits of other experiences sprinkled in there.
And some people have said they believe different songs might be even inspired by Mac Miller and the trauma she went through there. She's actually used a sound bite of her laughing with Mac Miller. She's removed his laughter but included her own on one of the tracks. And I think people are trying to say that's her saying, I wish you were here. Like his laughter's not there anymore. It's just hers on its own, which is very deep. Anyway, that's all led to what we told you about in the headline. Lots of criticism towards Dalton Gomez. So much so that Ariana Grande had to post something to Instagram, Annabelle.
Yes, she did. She wrote, "Hi, I just wanted to say anyone that is sending hateful messages to the people in my life based on your interpretation of this album is not supporting me and is absolutely doing the polar opposite of what I would ever encourage and is also entirely misinterpreting the intention behind the music. I ask that you please do not. It is not how to support me. It is the opposite. Although this album captures a lot of painful moments, it also is woven together with a through line of deep, sincere love. If you cannot hear that, please listen more closely." Our fourth story, Natalie Portman quietly got divorced. That is from The Cut.
A very quick one, guys. It turns out that almost a year after we covered the rumors that Benjamin Millipede had cheated on his wife, Natalie Portman, with the climate activist, Camille Etienne, the woman who is 20 years his junior, they are officially over. Natalie and Benjamin are officially divorced. According to People magazine, this all kicked off after those photos of Benjamin and Camille were published last May. By July, Natalie had filed divorce papers, which were finalized last month in France, where the couple live with their children, a son and a daughter. I just find it interesting that this is how it all kind of panned out. It was a very, very public story. When those photos came out, like, I think everyone felt pretty horrible for Natalie Portman to like see your husband in this kind of situation and then, you know, have this dragged through the media. They've clearly taken a complete polar opposite route when it comes to actually severing the relationship and the marriage.
And Natalie Portman's always been quite private, so this whole quiet divorce thing doesn't surprise me all that much. It was also pretty interesting that right in the thick of them apparently trying to figure it out, Benjamin was working pretty intensely on Dune Part 2, which I'm seeing. Did I mention that in the episode? Did I say
Did I say
that on mic? I'm seeing that tonight, which is just a really, really random sidebar. Anyway, he was working on Dune Part 2 as a choreographer,
which I didn't know. He's the lead choreographer on that film. So apparently when all of this was coming out about him and Camille, he was working really intensely on Dune. Natalie was apparently working very intensely on May, December, that Netflix film that came out late last year that did really well. So imagine like all of that's going on in both of your careers, plus the cheating rumors, plus the photograph surfacing. I'm not surprised. Like, first of all, I'm not surprised they got a divorce, but imagine all of the chaos once you throw their careers in, which are keeping them completely separate.
Yeah, it's kind of a distraction, I guess, and I can see how that leads to them ending it.
Yeah. Our fifth story, they play nice inside the tensions and tumult at Queer Eye. That is from Rolling Stone. In case you missed it, Rolling Stone published a pretty blistering expose about the behind the scenes of Queer Eye last week. Before we cover the main Rolling Stone claims, let's give a bit of background on Queer Eye, Annabelle.
Yes, for those who are unacquainted with Queer Eye and the players involved, which is absolutely nobody, I know, like, it's quite a well-loved show.
It is. I am thinking of the Zara McDonald's out there, those who maybe haven't watched.
Alrighty.
I reckon I've watched 3 episodes of the rebooted Queer Eye.
Okay, well, for the Zara McDonald's and the Michelle Andrews out there, in 2018, a Netflix reboot of the 2003 original series was released, and we were introduced to the Fab Five. Food and wine expert Anthony, interior designer Bobby, stylist Tan France, personal groomer and hairstylist Jonathan Van Ness, and culture expert Karamo. The show was a hit until November last year when Bobby announced on Instagram that he would be departing the show after the upcoming 8th season.
Bobby, the interior designer, for anyone who's a little bit confused.
Yes, he said, "It's not been an easy decision to be at peace with, but a necessary one. Although my journey with Queer Eye is over, my journey with you is not."
Notably, Karamo, the culture expert, commented the following. "We are hashtag forever the Fab Five, no matter what. I'm about to be at Netflix's door and emails telling them you can't leave. Who is coming with me?" Not long after Bobby announced he was not returning to the show, a source told Us Weekly that there was more to the story. Apparently, underneath the tight-knit image the Fab Five tried to put out to the world for so long, there's actually been tension bubbling for some time. I don't think many people really took much notice of the Us Weekly report. Us Weekly is well known. Sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it so drastically wrong.
Mm.
So I think people kind of took it with a grain of salt.
Until
Bobby unfollowed Tan on socials, and that's when the rumours got way louder.
Yeah, and then Bobby kind of confirmed these rumours in an interview with Vanity Fair in Jan. He said this, "Tan and I had a moment. There was a situation, and that's between Tan and I, and it has nothing to do with the show. It was something personal that had been brewing, and nothing romantic, just to clarify that. Maybe I should have just muted him. But that day, I was angry, and that's the end of it. We became like siblings, and siblings are always going to fight."
Mm.
Interestingly as well, in that Vanity Fair interview, Bobby also revealed that all five of them were expecting to exit the show come September 2022 due to their contracts expiring. But because of the writer strike, Netflix was short on content, and they all signed on for more seasons. All except Bobby, obviously.
Except poor Bobby. Fast forward to late Feb, and Netflix announced that poor Bobby's replacement was a guy named Jeremiah Brent. Jeremiah happens to be a close friend of Tan.
Interesting indeedy. Then came this report that we're speaking of from Rolling Stone, alleging that Tan was behind the old Bobby boot replaced with Jeremiah's switcheroo, which is something that I did write. I wrote that in the notes. So let me say it again.
The old Bobby boot.
Yes, the old Bobby boot replaced with Jeremiah's switcheroo. One source from this source from this report claimed Anthony and JVN were supporting Tan in his quote-unquote mean girl antic.
Yeah, on top of all of that. And by the way, this was covered in Monday's edition of Smart Dumb Stuff by Frank. That's our newsletter. Make sure you subscribe via our show notes. Plug, 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 plug. But Frank did write about how in this Rolling Stone piece, multiple sources spoke about Jonathan Van Ness's concerning rage issues on set and suggested there were some issues with emotional abuse in the workplace. Mm. In the piece, Jonathan was described as a monster, a nightmare, and demeaning. One source said at least once a day they would need to yell at somebody. It might be something small, but there's always going to be somebody to point out and blame and make the villain of the day. Another quote is, and before I read this one for clarity, JVN goes by all pronouns, which is why you're about to hear them change. The quote is, "When he comes on set, everything changes if he's in a bad mood. Working with him is very difficult in any capacity." Pretty
big,
emphatic.
Big eek. And it's especially surprising, I guess, because of the image JVN has as this really uplifting, positive person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to keep going.
No, that was kind of it.
I think I came in so abruptly because something just occurred to me. Could one of these anonymous sources be Bobby Burke?
Oh.
Is old got the boot Bobby, poor Bobby, is he? Something's adding up for me.
All just speculation, of course. I feel like I have to put my Zara McDonald hat on.
Zara's not here to rein me in and be like, allegedly, reportedly. Okay, let me put in this. Everything I'm about to say, just disregard it. Particularly if you're listening and you are a lawyer.
Or Zara McDonald.
Or Zara. Nothing I say is true. But what if it's Bobby?
What if? Well, we'll probably never know. Anyway, back to the Tan-Bobby drama. Cut to last weekend when Tan posted a video addressing the alleged feud between them. We're going to play you a clip of that video.
My former colleague getting fired had nothing to do with me trying to get my friend hired. Netflix and the production companies did a full-on casting. I didn't put my friend up for the job. Am I so happy that they have the job? Uh-huh, I really am. I think they're going to be incredible on the show. But I didn't get them hired by getting rid of somebody else.
My former colleague getting fired.
The F word that had never been mentioned in the context of this story. So very specific wording here from Tan.
I also just think it's never a good idea. If you're a celebrity making a video about a feud with another celebrity, use their name, I actually don't think it's ever a wise decision to omit their name because instantly it comes across as snarky. Just use someone's name. I think it's a very easy sign of respect. Yeah. And even if it feels awkward, using something in place like former castmate, even if you don't intend it to sound catty, it will sound catty.
Oh, it adds so much more fuel to the fire. And it's like, what the hell went down then if you can't even
utter
say Bobby's
name? Poor Bobby.
Poor Bobby, indeed. Our sixth and final story. Rupert Murdoch, 92, is engaged for the sixth time. That is from NBC.
Bring on the second half of his life, baby. If you missed this one, Rupert Murdoch, who actually turned 93.
Oh, happy birthday,
on
Rupi.
Monday. Happy birthday, you guys old chap.
You guys are almost birthday
We're
twins.
Birthday twinnies. It's the only similarity we have. Because he has just gotten engaged to his girlfriend, Elena Zakova. A spokesperson announced this news on Thursday, and this will be his fifth trip down the aisle. If he makes it there, we must say, look, Rupert, not to be sassy, but you did have a short-lived engagement. Number five, your fifth engagement was short-lived.
Yes.
With, I think it was Leslie Ann, if my memory serves me correctly. Nice. Call me a Rupert Murdoch expert. I think that ended a couple of weeks after it was announced. If he does make it down the aisle, this will be his fifth marriage.
Okay. Hopefully he does. Fingers crossed for you, Rupi. Now, according to the New York Times, Elena is a retired molecular biologist.
Slay, Elena!
Okay. They met through Rupert's ex-wife, Wendy Deng.
Like, what? A little weird. But I'm guessing a lot of these kind of like socialite billionaires, they would all be connected in some way. But yes, they did meet through Wendy Deng. Elena's ex-husband is also a billionaire.
Oh, she's got good taste.
Energy investment, which don't ask me what the fuck that means. Now, apparently, the wedding is in June at his Bel Air vineyard. I do have a theory. They rushed this story out when Rupert was still 92. Because I just don't think it's a coincidence that this story came out and then he turned to 93 like 2 days later. I definitely think he was like, while I still have some youth, get this story out.
A lot of strong or shaky theories coming from you today, Michelle. And I respect that a lot.
Congratulations, Rupert, yes. And happy birthday, buddy.
A lot of big occasions coming up for Rupi.
Rupert, your march and my march have been very big. And I hope you recover soon and that your voice sounds the same the whole way through.
Michelle's just saying words at this point.
I know we have to finish strong. Are you kidding me? Our last few finishes.
I think this has been a very strong finish. All thanks to Rupert. So thank you, Rupert. And thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode. We are at the end. Michelle, take it away. Where can people find us?
Find us on social media. Just search Shameless Podcast. And yes. I think we'll come up on whatever app you so fancy. Apart from that, what else?
Could you guys at home hear Michelle tapping the table like, now what else should we
do? A bit of ASMR, I'll do that again. Wedding nails. I never have my nails done, but if you've got four weddings in a row, guess what?
Another
getting your nails done.
I'm sure Rupi will agree with you on that one as well.
Elena, hit me up if you want to contact. We need to go.
All right, see
Bye.
You guys. Bye.
Shameless Media.
This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Oh, hi, it's Annabelle Lee and Louis Hansen here. We are your hosts of Everybody Has a Secret.
Woo!
Woo! We are here essentially just to let you know that we drop episodes every week now. Every damn Friday morning, we are in your ears.
That is so exciting. What a time to be in your ear holes. So essentially, each episode, we unpack the real life secrets of our listeners. So this is for everyone who loves, you know, just a little bit of gossip in their lives, which, let's be real, Annabelle, is all of us.
It's absolutely all of us. Don't lie. You all love gossip. So if you want to listen to our show, please do head to your favourite podcast app and listen now.
See you there.
Bye.